Blog Talk Radio.
It's That Sci-Fi Show.
That Sci-Fi Show.
On the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network.
An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
With your host, Joey Donovan.
Late this evening, one of the world's great entertainers and musicians, John Lennon of the Beatles, was shot outside his New York home.
Chris West.
It's more than 10 years since the Beatles broke up, and there are still many, many radio stations that still devote considerable time to the Beatles' music. That's how important they were.
And Sci-Fi Inc.
I wouldn't think, you know, somebody who's a pop star was important enough to kill. You know, it's a terrible thing. I don't think anybody is important enough to kill.
The opinions expressed on That Sci-Fi Show are strictly those of its participants and are not necessarily those of this station, the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network, its staff, management, or sponsor.
I think that's a time for us to think how fortunate that we were, that we live in a time when you were here with the show, you got to the world, and that is something to be thankful for.
And now.
The last John I remember is a very gregarious, energetic, high-spirited guy.
It's That Sci-Fi Show on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network.
That's right. 30 years, Joey. 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years. It's kind of hard to believe it's been 30 years, considering. And one also realizes that John Lennon had been very much wanting to be a part of New York, because New York was in a sense kind of like what Liverpool was when he was growing up. And obviously getting, you know, things together with Paul, and then meeting George, and then Pete Best, and replacing him with Ringo, and then becoming the Beatles. And then over the course of those 10 years, and then he came to America after the breakup, and he so really wanted to be a part of New York, to be a New Yorker, especially during the 5 years after he and Yoko had Sean, that essentially he just devoted his time being Mr. Mom, being Sean's dad, and he never really had a bodyguard. In fact, he just made it a point that wherever he went, he just really came and went as he pleased.
Well, yeah, also back in that time, artists didn't travel with an entourage of bodyguards.
Oh, but after this night,
this was the turning point where it said. And nobody at this point thought a recording artist was important enough to kill.
That's right.
And it shocked the world. Now, you know, it just painted a target on anybody that, you know, has a forum's back.
That was George Harrison's words, by the way.
Yeah.
When he was interviewed in 1982, because he came out with an album, and one of the cuts was called All Those Years Ago, which was his tribute to John. I find it truly fascinating how every generation has a voice. Let's go back in terms of popular music. Bing Crosby, age of 78, dies doing what he loved best. Finished playing in a complete round of golf in Spain, collapses of a heart attack, dies in his youngest son's arms. He was 78 years old, I think it was. Frank Sinatra, the voice of a generation, World War II generation, the greatest generation, died of cancer at the age of 85. Elvis, we kind of expected. We looked at his appearance. He was getting fat, bloated. He was abusing himself. It wasn't a matter of if, but when.
Yeah.
You know,
Elvis is one of those ones where it's you knew down the line the day was going to come when you were going to get the news, you know, Elvis had died.
Yeah. Michael Jackson, in a way, the same thing, although none of us in my generation were ready to admit it, because we had accepted him, at least for certain circumstances. But to be murdered, to be shot in a cowardly way in the back twice, and strangely enough...
And you know what? Yoko Ono's there in not one shot.
We're not going to talk about that. I'm not going to wish ill will on anybody, but I just want to say that, yeah, coming up December 8th, December 8th, 30 years. And just to give you an idea, you heard the voice of Howard Cosell. Howard had John up there in the booth for Monday Night Football, I think sometime in 1972, and this was about the time when he had some sort of pop possession and people were convincing the Nixon government to get him out of there. But his appearance on Monday Night Football in tandem, another special guest was up there as well, the former governor of California, Ronald Wilson Reagan. And this just goes to show you how great television was back in the day. You have Costello interviewing Lennon, Costello interviewing Reagan, and then you have the microphone trained on Reagan explaining to Lennon what the quarterback is doing, throwing the ball, how many downs it takes, you know, and things like that. It's up on YouTube somewhere. But I just found it completely fascinating. You never get away with that nowadays. But there was also one very...
Playing football to the British guy?
Well, that too. But there was also one very important thing that also happened on the day he died. Annie Leibovitz stopped by their apartment to do a photo shoot for Rolling Stone. And she had promised Lennon a photo with Ono that would make the cover, but initially just tried to get a picture with Lennon alone. Mind you, he had been out of it for 5 years. This was his comeback. And Leibovitz recalled that nobody wanted Yoko on the cover. But Lennon insisted that both he and Yoko be on the cover. And after shooting the pictures, Leibovitz left her apartment. And after the photo shoot, Lennon gave what will be his last interview to a San Francisco DJ for a music show. And but before all that happened, you know, before he went to the record plant to record a few more things for his second album after Double Fantasy, there's that iconic photo of Lennon naked, lying on the floor with his wife Yoko, who's wearing a black, just all black. It's you'd have to find it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it. We've all seen it.
Yeah.
We lost John Lennon 30 years ago next Wednesday. That Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network.
Speaking of December 8th,
huh?
And we're talking about John Lennon,
mm-hmm.
Throw it to another inspirational person that lost his life on December 8th, Dimebag Darrell. Darrell Lance Abbott.
That's right.
Was shot, I believe, 4 or 5 times in the chest at point-blank range, along with 3 fans in the audience. I believe 2 of those fans died, and 1 lived before the assailant was taken down. And you're talking, you know, voice of a generation. Well, Dime was the guitar voice of the 80s, 90s, and still today with, you know, a lot of his recordings that for the band he did after Pantera, Hell Yeah, with his brother Vinnie Paul, are still coming out. Now, and it's just when that day happened, it was much, you know, once again, another artist who died around, I don't believe it was in December. I'll take that back. I will Google and find out when Johnny Cash died.
Oh, yes.
Getting the call from a good friend of mine that Johnny Cash had passed away was, you know, just devastating. Because that's, you know, no matter what genre of music you listen to, you know Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
You know his music.
Yeah.
You know the song Hurt that he redid by Nine Inch Nails,
which
Trent Reznor came out and said, you know, the lead singer of Nine Inch Nails, this is no longer my song.
No.
It is Johnny's song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, all great artists that, you know, unfortunately, well, except in the case of Johnny Cash, who died right after his wife, which is very commonplace, you know, taken before their time.
Very much before their time. We remember John, but... I'll tell you, a man who lived a very full life, we'll talk about him later on, too, Leslie Nielsen.
That's right. Yeah. He has also passed.
Johnny Cash died September 12th.
That's Sci-Fi Amy, by the way.
Hi.
Hello. How was Thanksgiving?
Very good.
Good. Did you eat?
Tons and tons of turkey. I think I gained 5 pounds.
It doesn't show. Chris, it doesn't show. Does it not? It doesn't show.
It's all in the right areas.
Yeah.
That's for the photos I took earlier.
Yeah, I have some take some pictures of me for the website, and he did a close-up on not my face.
Well,
put it that way.
That's expected for a 26-year-old, I guess.
Yeah.
Just to give you a heads up, we are on the air live. It is Saturday, the 4th of December, 2010. And coming up next hour, we're going to be hearing from Denise Roper, for whom we've had earlier on this year as a guest. She's author of the book. Oh, what's the name of the book?
The Deathly Hollow.
No. That's the Harry Potter book.
The Lord of the Hollows.
Thank you. Yes. Christian a book on Christian elements in the Harry Potter mythos. And we'll be hearing from her sometime next hour as Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 is out.
Yes, it is.
Did you guys see it yet?
I finally got my screener copy.
Screener copy? You mean you didn't go to the movie theater?
Not yet.
You have to go to the movie theater and see it.
I got paid today.
It was awesome.
So
I loved it.
This week I will go see it in the theaters. Because, yeah, my screener copy doesn't do justice.
Yeah, you got to see it in the theater. I'm sorry.
I won't even know how you got a screener copy. But we'll be hearing from
Chris.
Chris
knows how to get everything.
I'm the guy that knows how to get things.
That's right. You need something? Ask Chris. He'll get it for you.
Yes. Yes. Question is, all right, we won't say any more. But we'll also be discussing at least various and sundry things that have happened over the course of the past couple of weeks in sci-fi news, as well as something that Chris and I had had viewed on NBC Nightly.
Yeah, I mean, so. Both of us in two separate rooms at the same time.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
NASA announcing that there's alien life? All right, about time. And then...
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
Go ahead and read off that story there. What exactly happened for those that didn't know about these aliens joining us?
All right. Hold on a second. Let me go ahead and pull the information.
Well, while you're doing that, my good friend Richard Horvitz, many will know him as Invader. He was the voice of Invader Zim.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you're in the Beverly Hills area, he's doing a play. It's called Murderers. It's December 1st to the 19th at Theater 40.
What's his website?
Theater40.com.
Okay, Theater40.
Well, that's not his website. His website is RichardHorvitz.com.
Well, I kind of realized that, but just in case you wanted to find any information,
yes.
That's the reason why. Yeah. NASA announcing a radical new finding this week. Mono Lake, California, scientists have discovered bacteria dubbed GFAJ-1 that are unlike any other microorganism, on Earth. I'm sorry. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, Captain. And it's so different that we can even call it alien. Biology class taught us that it takes the presence of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, and sulfur in order to create organic life. These elements are the building blocks of everything on this planet until now. These microbes have two fundamental differences. One, phosphorus exists in GFAJ-1 only in negligible amounts. And two, instead of phosphorus, the microorganisms use arsenic.
Arsenic. Realize that's the most deadly poison to all mankind. So there's a DNA, there's a bacteria out there that's breeding the ultimate poison for us.
I'm wondering, is if there's arsenic, where's the old lace? The Washington Post has
a very good movie.
Thank you. The quote, the research found that some of the bacteria not only used arsenic to live, but had arsenic embedded into their DNA, RNA, and other basic underpinnings, end quote. In other words, arsenic, which is poison to every other living creature, isn't just this microorganism's tasty treat. It's also part of its very inhuman nature. These arsenic life forms aren't going to rise up and become our new alien overlords anytime soon, nor will they etch no-kill eye on a wall while defending their young, but they will alter our perception on the way we look at life.
And eventually we'll spawn the anti-human.
Yes. Fox News spoke with science fiction writer Robert Sawyer. I'm surprised they actually did that. About how this changes, about the changes that it will bring. The change, he said, is that NASA will start looking for arsenic as well and possibly other chemicals. This could mean new missions to Titan, which I think is in orbit around Saturn, which is known for having traces of arsenic. Another change could be the scientific equipment that we send to space. Probes might be retrofitted to search for arsenic. Sawyer told FoxNews.com, quote, it's a huge breakthrough. It changes the probabilities for there being life on other planets. If there is more than one recipe that makes life, then there are chances of rolling the dice in the chemical soup of all over the universe. And the chances of that chemical soup giving rise to life is much larger, end quote. Now, Mono Lake, California is already a fascinating spot even before the discovery of arsenic-based life. Thanks to high alkalinity and salinity, no fish can survive the waters, yet it is home to a species of shrimp that exists nowhere else on Earth.
Anti-shrimp.
Yeah, anti-shrimp indeed. We want to thank our sponsors for this hour. Who are our sponsors, Chris?
Oh, we got Beckard & Associates, Totally Green Carpet Clean, Canatelli Builders, and Robert Gluck, Attorney at Law.
That's right. We also want to thank our internet partners, InTheRooms.com and MySoberScene.com. You are listening to That Sci-Fi Show on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. He's Chris West. She's Sci-Fi Amy. I'm Joey Donovan. Glad to have you with us for the next 2 hours. Next hour, Denise Roper, author of the book Lord of the Hallows, a book on the Christian underlying themes in the Harry Potter mythos. We'll be talking about the release, obviously, of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. And still, after all this time, what does this all mean? And in the meantime, we are on blogtalkradio.com, our website, that's scifishow.com, and the website for the mothership is www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's my fly show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Back after the break. Stay with us.
And we're back with more of that sci-fi show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com and www.thatscifishow.com. Now, back to the show.
My name is Charles Beckert. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
Totally Green Carpet Clean is dedicated to promoting a healthier environment for your family and your business. Vacuuming alone will only keep down dust and dirt. The Totally Green process removes dust mites, allergens, microorganisms, soil, bacteria, and contaminants. For a free consultation, call Totally Green Carpet Clean at 954-977-8330. Your home will not only look clean, but actually be clean. 954-977-8330. Totally Green Carpet Clean. Preserving the integrity of the planet, one cleaning at a time. 954-977-8330.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com and www.thatscifishow.com. Joe?
And this week's music is brought to us by Toxic Toys off their new album, Mutilation.
Good album so far, Kevin.
What do you guys think?
What?
No, you guys are a huge heavy metal fan.
I can't hear you. Pop some music. What? Who is this? What?
Joey, you're so old.
Seriously.
Let's headbang now.
No, I know, but seriously, who's the group again? Who's the group?
This is Toxic Toys, the band we met out with, I want to say Florida Supercon, but no, that's actually, we met them at Spooky Empire.
Spooky Empire.
Yeah, right.
Which took place when?
I knew you were going to say that October 8th and 10th at the Wyndham Resort in Orlando.
Well, we can't say that anymore because we don't know when the official date for.
Well, the next one is Mayhem in May.
Yeah. We know Mayhem.
Sean Patrick Flannery is going to be there. I'm excited.
Actually, Sean Patrick Flannery is going to be there. Norman Rustin is going to be there. And David Del Rocco is going to be there.
Woo-hoo!
The entire cast, minus Willem Dafoe,
yep,
of the Boondock Saints.
Nice.
So I am super excited, as well as Bruce Campbell.
No way.
They have
Seriously?
Announced that Bruce Campbell will be at Mayhem.
All right. Awesome.
We're working right now.
Awesome,
we're, along
man.
With a number of other live broadcasts of the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network that we're going to get through. And here in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a full list for you of what all we're doing. Well, we're not going to tell you until we get it all signed on paper, so you're just going to have to wait.
Hey, Joey, speaking of music, remember last week we were discussing She and When It Went Off the Air?
That was 2 weeks ago.
That was a couple of weeks ago? Okay, well, my bad. I kind of thought about it after I left here, and I was thinking of K-102.
Okay.
That was in 1984. 1995 is when WSHE went off the air.
After 25 years, and then it became Planet Radio, and then it became the Beat.
So I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. You
K-102 was the best radio station ever.
I wasn't around for it.
You weren't here?
I came here in 86, July 3rd of 86.
Yeah, I was only three.
Yeah, sure you
came here in 84.
By the way, Chris, just a heads up, looking at holisticlifestylesradio.com, John House is a nice man.
Oh, and by the way, hi, Alan.
That's right. We always have to say hello.
We have to say hi to Alan.
Yes. Tomorrow, Sunday, December 5th, the big Toys in the Sun toy run happening for the 23rd straight year to benefit the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital for cancer treatments. The expected turnout for this event is over 70,000, located at Markham Park in Sunrise, Florida.
Is this the bike run that usually shuts down the 95?
Yep, it will be.
Yeah, I believe that's from, if you're taking 95 tomorrow around Glade South.
Actually, hold on a second here. I have the exact route for this.
Route for what now?
This is a new parade route. It starts
parade?
Yes, a parade route. It starts in Coconut Creek Casino, west parking lot onto 441, State Route 7 north to Walls Road, east to Power Line South to Sample Road, east to I-95, south to I-595, west to Exit 1. And that's where Markham Park is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we'll be shutting down 95.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll tell you right now, knowing from years they've done it in the past, Glades Road is usually the cutoff point.
Really?
Yeah. They usually have all the traffic blocked off to where you, if you're north of Glades, you have to get off on the next exit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're south of Glades, well, you're just not getting on.
Okay. Well,
until 5:95.
Anyways, it's too late now for the registration. I think that ended about 2 o'clock today. But I think I think everybody's invited to come out for, if I'm right in saying, to the big concert at Markham Park. It's being headlined by Charlie Daniels.
That's right.
Yep.
Wow.
The devil went down to Florida.
That's right. Star of the big Geico commercial. In addition,
that is one of my favorite commercials. The new Geico. The guy. Can a woodchuck chuck wood?
Oh God, I love that. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Does Charlie Daniels play a mean fiddle?
Yes, he does. Also playing Dr. Strong, the Heck Pack Boo Daddies, Soul Aside, and the Southern Rock Society. That's one word, Southern Rock. Great event being done by all involved who come for this all-day event. So just to give you guys a heads up, if you need to do anything early tomorrow morning, best to do it tonight if you live in Northern Broward County.
Hepcat Boo Daddies. My friend likes that band.
Yes,
the Hepcat Boo Daddies. They've been around for a nice long time.
They have.
He's like really into the music thing. He actually has his own website, and he tells everybody what's going on, all the lives. It's called WeekendHour.com.
Kind of like Ico, a South Florida legend. Sci-fi news and comment this hour on that sci-fi show on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. He's Chris West. She's Sci-Fi Amy. I'm Joey Knopf. Glad to have you with us. Fans have been freaking out about Fox's announcement that beginning January 28, Friends will move to Friday nights at 9 p.m. East. Could this really be the beginning of the end for one of the best shows on television?
Oh, yeah.
Strangely enough, executive producers Jeff Pinkner and J.H. Wyman don't think so. In fact, Wyman says, and I quote, "We are excited. We think it's open territory that can be conquered. We really do believe our fans are loyal. I believe they're going to follow. It's a chance for us to get away from that statement that Friday night is not an opportune night. We believe we can actually deliver like the X-Files did. I think we both agree it's a good opportunity."
And all right, nothing has been able to follow the X-Files.
No.
It's not on Fox.
I know, but still.
Nothing on Fox has since
there's
the,
nothing
since,
on Fox at all.
No, well, no, there's a lot of good things on Fox.
Such as?
Animation Domination on Sunday, a number of different shows. No, Friday at 9 o'clock, the old X-Files spot. Since the X-Files has gone off the air, nothing, not even Firefly, which had a huge, and to this day still has a huge fan following, survived that spot. It has nothing to do with the fans.
Dollhouse,
Dollhouse, which also has a huge following.
Yeah, but still, couldn't get it.
Fringe done. Will not be on the air next season.
You know, I think that Friday night at 9 o'clock it primarily is that 1 hour where you're getting ready to go out if you're going out. And if you're not going out, you're watching something else. Basically,
Supernatural.
You kind of settled in, you know, at night in terms of, I mean, heck, even MSNBC doesn't run anything on Friday nights past 10 o'clock. They just start running, like, repeats of Lock Up. So, so it's like basically it's like the Nets tend to go to bed early, you know, on that Friday night. But in terms of how well Fox has taken all these shows in terms of a death slot, yes, I mean, traditionally, Fox has had a traditional successful night. You know that for the past 25 years, almost, you know, it's been, it's been an hour of Cops followed by American.
I'm just saying I watch other channels.
Yeah, Saturdays.
So.
And then, of course, you got the Sunday Funnies on Fox, as I like to call them, all the cartoons, Simpsons, and the Seth MacFarlane animation programs and such. After the fact that they also shut down about 10 o'clock, which is always where they've been. You think after all, 25 years, do you think that they would make it a point to, like, you know, continue on for another hour?
Well, now that they've got, you know, Adult Swim picking up at 10 o'clock with last week's Family Guy, and then a new episode, you know, another episode of Family Guy right after, and then, of course, they'd still play King of the Hill and a lot of the old shows that were on, you know, Animation Domination. I guess that's the trade-off, is that they're trying to get, you know, all right, we're going to, the old people will get the news and the kids know to go to Adult Swim.
Yeah, you're right. And when we say kids, we're talking about people, Chris, and Amy's age.
Thank you, Joey.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Love you, honey.
I'm sure you do. Just show up at my door.
In your dreams. I don't know you're going to say that.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. Hey, this is something Chris might like. The highest grossing film of all time has already enjoyed a stay in the spotlight with that first theatrical run, a second, and two DVD releases, but now it's getting classy with an exhibition at Experience Music Project / Science Fiction Museum. This is out in Seattle, by the way. Next June, we're going to call it the Science Fiction Museum, which is, by the way, the home to Battlestar Galactica, the exhibition. We'll play host to, Chris, Avatar, the exhibition, starting on June 4th, 2001, which features props and costumes and models and design work from the film. According to the press release, quote, get ready to laugh here, the exhibition is going to be a unique opportunity for people to learn more not only about how the film was made, but also experience Pandora in a much deeper way. Fans will be able to see in person the workmanship behind the film, whether it's how scenes are captured or how a Na'vi costume was built first as a real-world garment and produced digitally. End quote. This is according to director James Cameron, by the way. It'll create a tactical reality that'll be a good companion to having seen the movie. End quote. Avatar, the exhibition, will run in Seattle through September 3rd of 2012 and then travel to other major arts and cultural institutions in the U.S. and abroad. So might stop by in Washington at the Smithsonian Institution. I never saw Avatar.
You know, I still haven't seen that yet, and I want to.
Well, I'm just glad that it is the right James Cameron film to be the highest grossing of all time, because I never did like Titanic.
Really? I like Titanic.
All right, I'm going to throw my two cents in this
one.
I have not seen Titanic. I will not see Titanic. I have not seen Avatar. I will not see Avatar.
Yeah, I know you won't.
All right, I'm sorry, but James Cameron, you done screwed the pooch when you blatantly made a movie that was supposed to be a political statement. The whole point of the movies is to get away from crappy reality.
True.
If you want to make a metaphor movie, then be blatant out and coming out and saying, this is a metaphor movie, this is what I'm trying to say. Don't make a sci-fi film. And then last minute, oh, by the way, this is my, you know, theory on the Bush administration. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't care what your theory on the Bush administration is.
Yeah.
I wanted to see blue people in space. Thank you for ruining that, James Cameron.
Yeah, but you also have to realize that science fiction has been notorious for allegory in regards to that. Look at every single Twilight Zone episode ever scripted.
Well, yeah, but that was under the implied that you knew what it was. James Cameron, when he made this movie, Avatar, oh, it's going to be the next big sci-fi thing.
That was how it was built up. It was not built up as, this is James Cameron's political message in a sci-fi film. It was very last minute. It was when the film debuted, when it first hit theaters, and all the critics got out, and then that was when it was it. And then I believe, you know, it might not have even been that. I believe he got pressured into that.
Well, was he pressured by the studios? Or
pressured by the studios, by the, you know, everybody who's who puts up the money to make the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because nothing was said about a political message before this. And usually when a film like this comes out, it is well hyped up to what it is and what's inside of it. Everybody knows that, you know, this movie's going to have, you know, this kind of special effect. It's going to have this basic plot line. You know this before the movie comes out.
Yeah.
Up until the movie came out, nobody knew that there was a political message. Mm-hmm. They didn't say anything. They just kind of, oh, look at that. Oh, this is, you know, we could just go ahead and slap our agenda on this and call it a message. That just makes it even worse because it wasn't organically a message. It was just, people thought it was something, and instead of just sticking up to my, you know, artist roots and going, no, this is what it is, and this is what I see, and this is why I made it,
mm-hmm.
he catered, you know, crumbled to political demand and to popular demand. Okay, yeah, this is why I made the movie.
Mm.
It's like, okay, you just ruined it on all fronts. It's, you know, I didn't want it, you know, I don't want my movie like that.
Doesn't a lot of movies have political messages and they don't even tell you?
You
watch it and you're like, oh, I think that's what they're trying to say.
No, 9 times out of 10, before a movie comes out, you've seen a review that has said, oh, you know, in the news, and, you know, this new movie's coming out and blah, 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 and people have been saying it's been a message for this. You know beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron's the Avatar, they didn't say anything. They just said it was going to be the next
big ignore the political
sci-fi
message and then just enjoy the movie?
No,
what
I can't.
It
they
is.
Ruined it. No.
I think it's time we take a break on this one. I know he's starting to get very, 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 very. It's Niagara Falls. Slowly I turn, step by step. Hey, we got a rock band we got to play here with the kids, with the noise in the garage. It's that sci-fi show.
Put some heavy metal on, Chris.
What's the name of this group, by the way?
This is Toxic Toys off their new album, Mutilation.
Toxic Toys off the album, Mutilation. What's their website? ToxicToys.com?
That would be it.
Sure.
Off of Nightmare Records.
So
you can go to NightmareRecords.com.
Which records.com?
Nightmare Records.
NightmareRecords.com. So go to their website and buy their products, won't you? It's that sci-fi show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Next hour, Denise Roper talking about the new Harry Potter movie release, and also about the Christian elements regarding the Harry Potter mythos. For most of you people who probably think that still the spawn of Satan, Harry Potter is, I don't know anymore. But anyways, we're going to be hearing about that next hour. And coming up after the break, why Joss Whedon didn't want to do that Buffy movie?
You know what? Josh Whedon's got a really good reason for not doing the Buffy movie.
And we'll talk about that after the break. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. We're on blogtalkradio.com, our website at sci-fi-show.com, and the website for the mothership, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Back after the break. Stay with us.
And we'll be right back on That Sci-Fi Show, brought to you by the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
My name is Charles Beckert. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
Totally Green Carpet Clean is dedicated to promoting a healthier environment for your family and your business. Vacuuming alone will only keep down dust and dirt. The Totally Green process removes dust mites, allergens, microorganisms, soil, bacteria, and contaminants.
For a free consultation, call Totally Green Carpet Clean at 954-977-8330. Your home will not only look clean, but actually be clean. 954-977-8330. Totally Green Carpet Clean, preserving the integrity of the planet, one cleaning at a time. 954-977-8330.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. And www.thatscifishow.com. Go.
That Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Welcome back to it. Joey Donovan here with you. Glad to have you with us. Chris West, Sci-Fi Amy. And, coming up next hour, Denise Roper will be discussing. I'm sure Chris will be wanting to talk with Denise mainly about the new release of the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah, there are, from the screener that I've seen, there are a number of discrepancies, of course, like any movie to the book. There are a number of missing batches, the things that shouldn't be there that are added, things that need to be added that should be there. But overall it was a good movie. Not as good as the book was, but definitely worth seeing. So I'd love to get her opinion on it and see what she thought about it. I know she was on with our good friend Michelle Weston last week on our sister station 740 WSBR.
Mm-hmm. In fact, next week, Michelle from Weston will be joining us in regards to looking back at the year 2010 in terms of literary, science fiction and fantasy literary. So that should be fun to talk about, considering all the great books that have come out over the course of the past year or so, 2010. So that's next week. This week, next hour coming up, Denise Roper will be joining us about Harry Potter. Sci-Fi News and Comic continues now for the balance of this half hour. Chris, I don't know if you know about this. We all remember the Munsters, right?
Of course.
Okay. Remember the chap who played Eddie Munster?
Yes.
Yeah.
Butch Patrick. I had the pleasure of interviewing him a couple of times. In fact, the most recent after the passing of Al Lewis, and Butch had talked about the fact that it was Lewis who made it a point while he was a child actor. Al Lewis had made it a point to in between recording segments to more or less get him to the back lot at Universal and just with him and Fred Gwynne just to go ahead and take a baseball and just throw it around. That way he'd have the semblance of a childhood,
yeah,
and dispersed with all this, working with the grown-ups and all that, and the way their lifestyles and their work ethics were. Sadly, though, he's gone through a bit of a rough patch, but thankfully he's taken control of his life, and now he's in rehab. Butch Patrick, the former child star who played the pint-sized vamp, according to PopCrunch.com. on the 1960 series The Munsters, has checked into a rehabilitation center near his home in New Jersey just a month after he was dumped by his fiance for alleged serial cheating. But it isn't sex addiction that sent Butch into treatment. The former actor says he's battled with dependency on cocaine, marijuana, and alcohol for more than 40 years and is ready to, quote, get a grip on his addiction and educate himself, according to TMZ.com. Butch's rep told TMZ.com, quote, we have thought he could possibly be a product of the child star problem and are thankful he will take control of his fate, end quote. Patrick's relatives, who have been reportedly encouraging him to seek help for at least the past 30 years, are said to be...
I'd have to say it's been a not a very public fight to get him clean, because, you know, this is the first I'm hearing about, you know. Mm-hmm. You think, you know, too, out of all the kid stars, you know, Danny Bonaducci, and, you know, the kids, you know, just Butch Patrick. I would have never thought that he would be the one that would go down the Danny Bonaducci line.
Danny Munster, of all people, yeah. Anyways, Patrick's relatives...
He's such a happy werewolf.
Patrick's relatives, who've been reportedly encouraging the star to seek help for at least the past 30 years, are said to be, quote, very happy and supportive, end quote, of his decision to enter rehab. I'm happy that it is for him, too, because I know there was, in the middle of the year, you know, announcement he was going to get married. He was just doing a number of things over the past 10 years, and I'm just glad to see that, you know, he's getting his life back together.
It is good to see people when they make that change and get their life together, and, you know, you get to see them in a whole new light.
It's never too late. It's never too late. That Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Oh, yes. The way the interwebs exploded last week when it was announced a big screen Buffy was in the works without Joss Whedon, you think Warner Brothers had kicked a puppy, but it turns out that Whedon himself was mostly to blame. Apparently, Joss Whedon was offered a shot at being in charge of Buffy once more, a remake of the original 1991 Buffy the Vampire Slayer with Christy Swanson and, what's that guy, Dylan from the 90210, forgot his name.
Luke Perry.
Thanks.
Luke Perry, yeah.
Betamette.
Don't forget who else was in that movie.
Oh, that's right, Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee Herman was in it.
But who played the Watcher?
Donald Sutherland.
That's right, yeah. Donald Sutherland. Yeah, yeah. So apparently, Whedon was offered a shot of being in charge of Buffy once more, but decided that the Avengers was more important. I'm trusting it's Marvel Studios' film version of the Avengers. Yeah.
Yes. He is set to direct the film version of the Avengers, which should come out, I believe, in 2012.
Mm-hmm. According to the Hollywood Reporter, according to studio insiders, he was approached last year after Buffy rights holder Fran Rebel Kutsui and her husband Cass Kutsui began developing a remake with Vertigo, which I think is
another. They're, I believe, DC owned,
yeah.
Or they're independent.
Yeah.
No, they're not DC owned. That's Image and Wildstorm. That's DC owned. They are independent.
Wildstorm was named after Gen 13, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's right.
That's where Gen 13 came out of.
That's right. After presented with the opportunity, Whedon decided he'd rather work on other projects, as he's making the Avengers for Marvel Studios. Producers then began searching for a writer, and late last year hired actress-turned-scribe Whit Anderson. The unknown Anderson, with only bit film appearances to her credit, came up with a take on the Buffy mythos that was strong enough after a couple of drafts to lure Atlas, which partnered with Vertigo, to set it up at a studio. Confused.
And then they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Yeah.
Anne Rice's interview with the vampire hit the screens in 1994, centuries ago in Hollywood years. Now, Rice, who was famously critical of the casting of Tom Cruise as the vampire Lestat, before being moved by his performance, offers her choice for Lestat, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I like the book better.
Yeah, I would agree with Amy. I could totally see Robert Downey Jr. being a more book version of the stock.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he would have been a better choice.
Yeah,
it was like Tom Cruise, come on.
But you have to remember, this was made back in the time when movies were made with big-name actors.
Yeah.
Because it was easier to get a big-name actor than it was to get the right actor.
Yeah.
And to get the audience to go see the film.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been a better movie, too.
Well, true. And, of course, Tom Cruise and...
this is also the era where, you know, Hollywood really...
Was it Brad Pitt?
Mr. Angelina Jolie, yes.
Right?
Yes.
He was in there.
Yes.
Okay, I remember that. And, the little girl...
Armand Desante. No,
what's her name?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. That's right. Spider-Man's Squeeze.
Not anymore.
Well, was. Got Spider-Man Squeeze.
I mean, yeah, you're right about that. But
let's not remember those horrible movies.
But
come on! on. I like the Spider-Man movies.
Well, that's because you never read the comic book.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the goal was butts and seats back in 1994, and that's the reason why they have the hotties up front. Rice spoke at length to New York Magazine about her most recent novel of Love and Evil, as well as her hopes for Universal Studios' potential reboot of the beloved series. She feels either Richard Armitage, who was late of the BBC's Robin Hood, or Matt Bomer, who was Bryce in the NBC series Chuck, could play the part of Louis, the New Orleans planter and Lestat's lover. As for the tortured former slave Armand, she prefers Max Records, who played Max in Where the Wild Things Are. Rice also has suggestions for Marius, one of the oldest vampires, but the casting could not be complete without Lestat. Rice waxed poetic about the one name that's been floated, in this case, Downey. Quote, he is a great actor. He would bring the gravitas and the wit and the humor and all that to the part, and I don't think he's too old. I think if he had a blonde wig and makeup, he would be a wonderful Lestat. Lestat has to have the gravitas of a 200-year-old man, and Robert Downey Jr. can do it. As an aside here, considering all the crap he's been through in the past 15 years,
he is a 200-year-old man at heart.
Pretty much, yeah. He can do anything. He's just incredible. That will be wonderful, but I don't know whether he's really interested, and I don't know if that will work out. I hope so. I hope the rumors are true. Lestat is 200 years old. He wasn't a boy when he became a vampire. A 19-year-old is a man in the 18th century. He's not a boy. So physical appearance is just one aspect of this. There's got to be depth. There's got to be the real feeling that you're in the hands of an immortal who's commenting on things. And also his wit and humor, his mischievousness is so great. He's just terrifically athletic, and he's got this incredible eyes and great voice. This is Jane Rice, by the way. I think Robert Downey Jr. would do a bang-up job with it, end quote. Now, the wish listing on her part carries a bit of weight. Rice happens to hold the film rights to her books. Of course, she's aware that once she sells the rights, her opinions won't factor in the producer's decisions. So suffice to say that, I guess in the words of the late, great John Nathan Turner, producer of Doctor Who, stay tuned.
Yeah, essentially, that's it's just like very earlier in the year how Robert Downey Jr., how Johnny Depp came out and said that he would love to play the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the Riddler is going to be the next Batman villain. It doesn't mean that the Riddler is going to have anything to do with Batman in the upcoming movie.
No.
Or that Johnny Depp will play him.
No, but it's officially official. Johnny Depp is playing Barnabas Collins.
Yes.
When Dark Shadow starts pre-production in February.
Yes, and Tim Burton, I should say, picked up Dark Shadows, and we'll be running with it, and of course, Tim Burton. Who is he going to choose?
Well, obviously, it's Depp as Barnabas. I mean, that's a given. The two of them wouldn't have entered the project until they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
By the way, belated happy birthday wishes to Jonathan Frid, who turned 86 years old on December 2nd.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Visit his website, jonathanfrid.com. We got to take a break. Denise Roper joining us next hour as we'll talk about the release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, as well as her thoughts about the Christian aspects of, the book about the devil. Maybe, as some people say. I don't know. I just read some books. Yeah.
People tend to get a little stupid when it comes to things like this.
Sometimes.
Yeah, people are nuts.
Yeah, sometimes. Buying all these Harry Potter books just for the sake of burning them. Okay, you've given Scholastic your money. They don't care what you do with it afterwards.
Yeah.
Hopefully you read the book. But if you're going to go ahead and make ashes out of it from flame, hey, it ain't going to stand.
Hey, you know, the last group that did that was the Nazis.
Yeah.
So you're not, really stepping off into a really great platform there.
Nietzsche said it best, where they burn books, they also burn people. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Our website, that's scifishow.com. We're on blogtalkradio.com and the website for the mothership, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Back after the break. Stay with us.
And we'll be right back on That Sci-Fi Show, brought to you by the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
My name is Charles Beckert. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web
at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
Totally Green Carpet Clean is dedicated to promoting a healthier environment for your family and your business. Vacuuming alone will only keep down dust and dirt. The Totally Green process removes dust mites, allergens, microorganisms, soil, bacteria, and contaminants. For a free consultation, call Totally Green Carpet Clean at 954-977-8330. Your home will not only look clean, but actually be clean. 954-977-8330. Totally Green Carpet Clean, preserving the integrity of the planet, one cleaning at a time. 954-977-8330.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CDI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com and www.thatscifishow.com.
That's our Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Joey Donovan here with you. Glad to have you with us. Sci-Fi Amy to my left across the glass, Chris West. The name of the group again, Chris?
Toxic Toys off their new album, Mutilation, from Nightmare Records.
And their website?
That'd be ToxicToys.com.
And the website for Nightmare Records will be NightmareRecords.com, correct?
That's Nightmare-Records.com.
Nightmare-Records.com. How about Leslie Nielsen, huh?
I know.
Yeah.
And did you know that he was in Fort Lauderdale this whole time?
No, normally I don't find out that they live in Florida until I find out that they've died in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, Leslie Nielsen was here this entire time. We could have been stalking him.
No,
that's right, man. I could have been getting an interview from him.
I could be stalking Lieutenant Frank Trevin. No, no.
Yeah, you might not have.
Certain things about this man, though, that we may not have realized unless if we're, you know, wasting our time on Wikipedia. He was born in Saskatchewan. His mother was a Welsh immigrant from London. His father was a Danish-born constable who, interestingly enough, was also RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yes.
He had two brothers. His older brother, Eric, was Deputy Prime Minister of Canada during the 80s. He had a half-uncle who I think went by the name of Jean or Jean, J-E-A-N, Herschel, who was an actor best known for his portrayal of Dr. Christian in the long-running Canadian radio series of the same name, and also the subsequent TV series and films. So apparently he came from a decent lineage. But it was to us, at least in terms of being part of the family of sci-fi. He will be forever remembered for his role in the film and the futuristic version of Shakespeare's The Tempest, which we now call The Forbidden Planet.
Yeah. Yes, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Nielsen said about it, and I quote, supposedly, a science fiction version of Shakespeare's The Tempest. It was all about the id or something like that. Who knows? The Trekkies today regarded as the forerunner of Star Trek. I just had to wear a tight uniform and make eyes at Anne Francis. I was pretty thin back then. Was an attractive matinee idol. And he did a lot of straight roles. When I say straight roles, obviously straight dramatic roles. He did do a couple of comedies here and there. He was in The Reluctant Astronaut with the late, great Don Knotts. But essentially it was just more or less certain things. The Poseidon Adventure, he was a captain of the ship before that thing got turned over on New Year's Eve. But in terms of just, you know, his film credits, if you will, they ran along the lines of Incident in San Francisco. They Call It Murder. You know, Can Ellen Be Saved, which I assume is a TV movie. The Day of the Animals. But it wasn't his association with, Abrams and the Zucker brothers in Airplane.
Yes.
No, it was his first association was the Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes, Kentucky Fried Movie, a very little known. I don't know if you can really call it one movie because it's actually like five movies spliced together.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
And including which has the greatest kung fu action flick ever.
It does, yeah.
A Fistful of Yin.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you watch, just watch it. Find Kentucky Fried Movie and watch A Fistful of Yin, and he will put Bruce Lee in anything Bruce Lee has ever done to shame.
Exactly. Now, the Kentucky Fried Movie, along with the Groove Tube and the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Heavy Metal, were very much a staple of midnight movie showings back in the 1970s when teenage kids go out and they just, you know, pass the doobie on the left-hand side or whatnot and just, you know, have some sense of an evening, I suppose. It's either that or a Bible study. In addition to Airplane, that same year he was in Airplane, he was also in Prom Night.
Ah, okay.
And he was in Creepshow.
Yes.
In the Something to Tide You Over segment. What else was The Creature That Wasn't Nice. Soul Man, which is a movie we all like to forget. His last dramatic film was in the 1987 Barbara Streisand film Nuts. The next year, he started with continuing his role of Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the Police Squad.
Files from Police Squad, yes.
Yeah, which was short-lived on ABC, but it's still on DVD. Go get it. So he did three Naked Gun films, and let's see what else he did here. Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did the parody Spy Hard. He was Mr. Magoo in that live-action movie.
Now, the little thing about Spy Hard, and you didn't know this when I told you about it. One of the things that actually makes this bad movie a great bad movie is the bad guy.
Hmm. And that is?
Andy Griffith.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yes.
Andy Griffith plays the bad guy with no arms.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Just as mean, twice as ugly.
Exactly. He was in Scary Movie 3 and 4. He also did superhero movie as Uncle Albert, which I think was a parody of
Uncle Ben.
That's right, from Spider-Man. He did Slapshot 3, the Junior League.
He made a third one?
Yeah. He also did a film called Stan Helsing, which I think was a parody of Van Helsing.
Well, no, this Stan Helsing takes place many years in today's time, and Stan Helsing is the great, 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 great lazy, you know, stoner layabout descendant of Van Helsing, who has to take on, you know, all of the movie, you know, the movie's biggest horror creatures like Freddy Krueger, Jason, Michael Myers, and, you know, stuff like that.
And much like the other films, Scary Movie and such, it's kind of like what I call a carry-on film, which parodies things of that day and time. But his last film appearance is yet to be released. It's coming out sometime next year, and this is what happens when the internet is not exactly the fastest here. It's called The Waterman Movie. He did a voice acting in that one, in the character of Ruddy Espinosa, so that film will be released posthumously. But he did a lot of television. He was in MASH. He did a lot of straight television programs, like The Streets of San Francisco, Cannon. Oh, what else is there? Just a ton of stuff.
Leslie Nielsen, you're talking to one of the I always call him one of the great monologuers.
Your go-to guy.
Yeah, he could monologue, and no matter what he he was talking about. You were on your knees or on the floor laughing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you pull that clip where he's talking about the Cincinnati Bears?
No, I did not.
Or the Bengals, I should say.
The Bengals, yeah. That was from about a Monday Night Football. But check it out on YouTube. Type in Leslie Nielsen, Cincinnati Bengals. You'll get a better understanding. It was kind of like a teaser piece for that Monday Night Football game a couple years ago against Pittsburgh. That being said, rest in peace, Leslie Nielsen, and thank you. Yeah, a lot of people out of the woodwork thanking this man. And 84 years, a long, full life. Coming up to the top of this hour now, second hour commencing after we take a break, we're going to go ahead and ring up Denise Roper out of southeastern Louisiana. Had the pleasure of doing some time with her in marching band in high school back in the 80s. I did, honestly. And I know that she's a huge fan of Harry Potter, as well as a few other things that we're both fans of.
Everybody's a huge fan of Harry Potter.
That's right.
Exactly. And she's written a book on the Christian aspect of Harry Potter, and we'll talk about that, as well as her thoughts on the new release. And how she thinks it's going to end 6 months from now when Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 comes out. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Our website, that's scifishow.com. We're on blogtalkradio.com. And the website for the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network is www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. Who reminds you that Rockers in Recovery is tomorrow night at 9 p.m. So just to let you know about that, great show. Great show indeed. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Back after the break. Stay with us.
And we'll be right back on that Sci-Fi Show, brought to you by the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna die. It's not a bad dream you are dreaming.
WWMA, Pompano Beach.
My name is Charles Becker. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
Totally Green Carpet Clean is dedicated to promoting a healthier environment for your family and your business. Vacuuming alone will only keep down dust and dirt. The Totally Green process removes dust mites, allergens, microorganisms, soil, bacteria, and contaminants. For a free consultation, call Totally Green Carpet Clean at 954-977-8330. Your home will not only look clean, but actually be clean. 954-977-8330. Totally Green Carpet Clean, preserving the integrity of the planet, one cleaning at a time. 954-977-8330.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
It's That Sci-Fi Show.
That Sci-Fi Show.
On the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network.
Not in.
Bring my bathing suit.
What's a bathing suit?
Oh, murder.
With your host, Joey Donovan.
We're sorry to bother you at a time like this, Mrs. Twice. We would have come earlier if your husband wasn't dead then.
Chris West.
Children of the Night.
What a mess they make.
And Sci-Fi Amy.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had a stuff.
Let me help you with that.
The opinions expressed on That Sci-Fi Show are strictly those of its participants and are not necessarily those of this station, the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You're not just saying it because we exchanged bodily fluids.
And now...
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
It's That Sci-Fi Show.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious.
On the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network.
And don't call me Shirley.
There's something about that man. Him and Bill Murray have a direct line to my funny bone.
Yeah, yeah, he and Billy Murray, definitely. And apparently there was word going on that Ernie Hudson says that if there's no Ghostbusters 3, blame it on Billy Murray. Because apparently...
Really?
Yeah.
Why, you don't want to do it?
We'll find out later on in the hour and blast.
Now, he did the voice.
Yeah, he did the voice.
In the game, yeah. Which was the prerequisite, or the precursor, I should say, for the movie. I mean, the whole lead-up was is they were going to do the movie, and then they came out with the game,
mm-hmm.
which had all the original voice actors except for Rick Moranis, because Rick Moranis swore off acting.
Yeah.
He will not leave Canada.
Really?
Nope.
That's right. He wouldn't even do the Bob and Doug McKenzie animated cartoon series from
nope.
2 years ago.
He has sworn acting off altogether. Mm-hmm. Acting is now beneath him.
Please.
He's, he had his fill of it. You got to remember, he also was acting in the 80s.
Yeah, but is it beneath him to go to his postal box and pick up the residual check? If he cuts the cord on acting, he should cut the cord on getting the residual check.
Oh, come
no.
on.
You can't say no. You can't
why?
Say
it's stuff he did before.
I know, but...
I Shrunk the Kids.
I know, but at the same time, it's like, you don't diss what you've done.
Well, he's not dissing
he's
it.
Not
he's
dissing
not
it.
Saying
he
that, like, acting's bad. He's just saying, you know what, I've done this. Now it's time for me to do something else in my life.
Well,
exactly.
Much like what Emma Watson's doing with
just
Harry Potter.
The same thing, yeah.
True, and there's also a fellow Canadian of Moranis's that's up in Hamilton, Ontario, who's still semi-retired, Jonathan Frid, Dark Shadows, 86 years old. He's still doing stuff. I mean,
but he doesn't want to do it.
You're acting like, okay, the guy's coming out and slamming acting, slamming everything he's done. He hasn't. He's been very gracious about everything he's done. He's got nothing but nice things to say about Steve Martin, the guys, Harold Ramis,
yeah.
Eddie Hurtson,
yeah.
Bill Murray. He's had nothing but nice things to say about all his, fellow comedians he's acted with and other actors. It's not as if he's coming out and saying acting is a terrible thing, you shouldn't get into it.
Right.
It's just simply that he's got, you know what, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for me to do something else with my life. Whether it's, be with his family and use those residual checks to pay. This fact of the matter is the guy did a lot of great movies.
Thank God bless him.
Yeah.
Acted really well, excluding the Flintstones movie.
Well, think of it as a job, You had a job, and,
exactly.
You know what? I'm done with this job. I don't want to do it anymore.
We've all had jobs that have paid really well that,
Yeah.
Really just weren't worth the pay.
True. I mean, survival projects, ask Eric Roberts, but that being said, you do what you got to do. I just see it this way. My nephew is studying to be an actor in high school. So is my niece. I never had that opportunity growing up as a kid because we never had those opportunities presented to us. We never had schools for the performing arts.
We had drama club, though.
We have drama club, but that didn't amount to much. I mean, just showed up to drama club, and that was it. You know,
drama club really wasn't for the acting kids.
Yeah,
it was for
true.
Another group of kids, but we won't get into that.
I mean, we're talking about the school on Fame. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
And my sister's kids have that privilege.
Très joli.
Yeah, and they're taking advantage of it tremendously. They're grabbing the bull by the horns. And I will say this. Here's one individual who's grabbed the bull by the horns in terms of her being a fan. We got her on the phone? We got her on
the
phone.
Yes, we do. We have Denise Roper joining us on the hotline.
Denise Roper, who went to high school with me about 100 years ago, and she's been with us before, back in the early days when we started off this fine broadcast on that sci-fi show on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network, by the way. He's Chris West. She's Sci-Fi Amy, defending the honor of Rick Moranis with such fierceness as if you think maybe she has something to do with him up in Canada there. But Denise, I can safely say it's passion that's what fuels us, and I know that where your book, The Lord of the Hallows, Christian symbolism and themes in Harry Potter, The Lord of the Rings, and Narnia are concerned, obviously one wouldn't be able to write a book unless they had a tremendous amount of passion and a great love for what they do. Am I correct, ma'am?
Yes.
Wow, that was a great answer.
Sweetie,
yes.
You're doing better than me. Denise Roper joins us. Obviously, she's author of Same Said Book. And I'll tell you what, Denise, just watching these, just taking a look at how the book came out, how it all ended up, and, of course, we're not going to give any spoilers, but I will say this. Am I right in saying
that? The butler did it.
No, the butler didn't do it.
Everybody dies at the end.
No, that's Blake Seven, okay? That's not Harry Potter. It's like, Denise, help me out here. Am I right in saying that part one, now that it's being released, is reflecting the book very well? Is there some liberties to it? Am I right in saying that it's voting very well where the text is concerned? Is it worthy of a possible set of sequels down the line about some 10 years from now?
Oh, well, your first question about is the Deathly Hallows Part 1 doing well at the box office? Yes, I mean, it's been number one since it was released. But your question about sequels, what are you referring to? J.K. Rowling writing another book series? Or,
We've heard of that. We've heard that J.K. has been thinking about going, dipping the pen back into the well in terms of going back to these characters, even though... even though the chap whose name eludes me for the moment,
Daniel Radcliffe.
Thank you very much. You know, really doesn't want to go back to Harry Potter, and I can understand that. But then again, Sean Connery didn't want to go back to James Bond, and what, 15 years later, he did Never Say Never Again. So I'm wondering, perhaps, maybe it's time just to take another look for recasting is concerned. And obviously, another generation of kids kind of to tell the story, at least from a certain side view, a parallel view, if you will.
Well, there's a lot to talk about there. First of all, with a sequel to the written books, I don't think she's planning on writing another set of Harry Potter books. But as you said, never say never. She is, however, working on an encyclopedia of Harry's world with a lot of her... you know, the notes she's compiled over the years, the background information about the characters and the whole world she created. She has enough information to publish an encyclopedia, and she has said for years now that she's going to do that eventually.
And obviously, what better way to get the information than directly from the source herself, J.K. Rowling. Looking at least I know that you've been asked at least what your thoughts were on Deathly Hallows Part 1. Obviously, this is the beginning of the end, and this is a much more, for those who are not really keeping score as to what's been going on, the story so far, it's their final year in school. And basically, all the bad guys that he's been fighting over the course of the past several books are coming back, and it's a very, very dark passage this time.
Yes, and I think for the most part, they did stay true to the storyline. It's just the fans that have read the books will notice that there's a lot of important subplot information that was left out of the film, as always, and it may affect Part 2. One thing that really bothered me about the film is that we don't see the scene in which Harry goes into Sirius's old room at Grimmauld Place. And in that scene in the book, he discovers page one of a letter that his mother wrote and also a torn photograph of Harry as a baby with his father. And we find out where the page two of the letter is and where the other half of the torn photograph is at the end of the story. They left that part out of the film, and I know a lot of fans were upset about it. And again, if you haven't read the book, you don't know what I'm talking about if you only watch the movies. But it, it's a very important couple of clues there concerning a really important plot twist with a character. So can I talk about spoilers?
Oh, please, go right ahead. First of
all, it has to do with Professor Snape.
Okay, okay.
So in part two, we're going to have this big flashback of the origins of Professor Snape and what exactly his relationship was with James and Lily, Harry's mom and dad. And we'll find out what happened to the other half of the photograph and page two of the letter. So that was left out of the film, and that, to me, was a very important detail that they should have included.
Well, perhaps they'll put it in the second one.
Well, the payoff is, you know, Harry finds out in the second one where the...
No, I mean, like in the beginning
the
or something.
Where the other part of the photo was.
Well, no, they skipped the part in the book.
Right.
I know, but maybe they'll be included in part two in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like a flashback, sort of, like, this is what he's been doing or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just to add it in.
And then there's a lot of, you know, information with the supporting characters that was left out. I mean, people who just watch the films don't realize that Remus and Tonks are expecting a baby. I think in the seven Harry Potter scene in the film, Tonks was about to make an important announcement, and she was cut off maybe by Mad-Eye Moody, I think it was.
Yes, it was.
And she was trying to tell them that she was pregnant. And the baby is born during the course of the novel, Deathly Hallows, and we find out that it's a boy, and... Harry is named as the baby's godfather.
Hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to include that little subplot in the Deathly Hallows.
I was wondering that as well.
I would like to think at least where a film is concerned, where you have darkness, maybe a little bit of light needs to come out in this case, and hopefully that will probably be part of a nice conclusion that will be in where part two of Deathly Hallows is concerned. We're looking for a summer release on that, and we're discussing that as well as a few other things on the potential future of the Harry Potter mythos, even though this more or less ends with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows out in theaters out now, part one that is at least. And joining us for conversation on that, Denise Roper, who's author of the book The Lord of the Hallows, Christian Symbolism and Themes in Harry Potter, The Lord of the Rings, and Narnia. By the way, her website is, and I have to say this, phoenixweasley.wordpress.com. She has a nice, lovely blog on that, by the way.
Yes,
so.
She does. It's a very great book. Now, Denise, let me ask you, one of my favorite characters, is more acting-wise than in the book, has been Draco Malfoy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Felton, I'm really talking about the scene at the end. Does he not pull off that, just that, you know, confusion, that, you know, doesn't know what to do, just the pain in his eyes and face? Does he not pull that off perfectly?
Yeah. Oh, he did a wonderful job portraying just with facial expressions what's going on in Draco's mind. And Tom Felton said in an interview the director allowed him to play his scenes in more than one way, and he said he wasn't sure which interpretation of Draco would make the final cut of the film. But I think what we do see in the final cut of the film is, you know, what a lot of fans were hoping for, that we see that Draco isn't completely evil, that he's in a situation he really doesn't want to be in, but he's kind of stuck there because his parents are Lord Voldemort's followers. He's been branded with the Dark Mark himself as, you know, like a young Death Eater in training. And, you know, we see at the end of Half-Blood Prince, he really doesn't have it in him to be a killer. He was supposed to be, you know, assigned to murder Dumbledore, and he couldn't go through with it. And then we see in this film, the new one, that at Malfoy Manor, he could have identified Harry and Ron and Hermione right away, and then they would have summoned Voldemort, and Harry would have been killed on the spot. Draco's reluctance to do that shows that there's, you know, maybe a little bit of good in him. And also another important point about Draco is that when he and Harry are wrestling with each other for the wands, Draco barely puts up a fight, and Harry easily overcomes him to take the wands back from him in that scene at Malfoy Manor.
Yeah, you could tell that he didn't have the heart for it at all. I mean, the acting that came through, he didn't have the heart for it. But on the other side of the coin, somebody that had maybe a little bit too much heart, a little too much enthusiasm for the character, Helen Bonham Carter as Bellatrix.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think she was the scariest villain in this part one.
Yeah.
I
thought she was more frightening than Voldemort.
Yeah, because she's more, yeah, exactly.
She's crazy.
More, just on the loose. I think Voldemort is the only thing she fears, and if it's not for him, she would be out there just murdering wildly and as free as the day.
Uh-huh. I agree.
But I'm very interested to see what, you know, they come about. You know, spoiler alert here for those of you that have not seen the movie, turn off now. Later, you know, at the very end there, when they escape from Malfoy Manor and she kills Dalby with the throwing knife through the teleport. And just that scene, the look in her eyes when she's waiting to see the knife flash through.
Yeah.
Just how intensely she's staring at it, just to make sure she gets the kill.
Yep.
I think it was just one of the more intense scenes. That she really does come off as more of a real hardcore villain than even Voldemort does.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought that part was really well done as far as how they filmed it. You know, as we see the knife disappearing into the, well, you call it teleporting, like they call it apparition.
Apparition. I couldn't think of the name of it.
Yeah, that was very well done. I thought Dobby's death scene in the book was even more sad and more tragic than in the film, but it was well done in the film.
Yeah, I would have to agree. It was more, I guess when you get to see it. Yeah, the physicalness of everybody, you know, running around Dalby. You can read about it in the book and pick up the emotion and the hurt, but until you see it and see the look in his eyes when he's saying goodbye to Harry and the, you know, he died a free elf and how much that meant to him, until you get to just literally look at it, it doesn't hit home as it did, you know. In the book, it didn't hit as much, but watching it in films, it really came out, and you really felt for the character.
Yes, and, you know, that was a really good scene. I think one of my favorite scenes besides that was the whole character development of Ron in this film, when the locket affects him and he leaves, and then when he comes back and rescues Harry from drowning and makes his little speech of apology to Hermione. I just thought that was a really great sequence.
Yeah, you get to
with
see
Ron.
Yeah, I would.
We see a lot more depth to his character. He's not just the comic relief sidekick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. Is that you see a lot more depth with the character when he's talking about the light, and you know, Dumbledore gave him the little gadget that would give him lightness. You know, that would bring him light in the dark, and he heard Hermione's voice, and it traveled through his heart, and he was able to apparate straight to where they were at.
Yep.
And it just really, you know, it gave the character, exactly what you said, more depth. Whereas in the previous movie, he's always been the comic relief. And they've kind of hinted on here and there that he's got the little turmoil behind the scenes of being Harry's best friend and living in the shadow. But they really didn't get out with it until that the scene with the locket where you see Hermione, the shadow Harry and Hermione there. Making out and telling him how worthless he is and how no one ever will ever love him. Just the whole character development in that was very good to see him, you know, evolve from the comic relief, deal with his issues, and, you know, stand up.
Yes, and that part was very much like the scene with the locket tormenting him. That was very well done. Some things I didn't like about the film, though, were the scene in the tent when Ron is gone and Harry and Hermione are dancing. That's not in the book, and it really didn't seem true to their characters at all.
Yeah, I could see, like, Harry maybe giving her a hug and a pep talk.
But it was kind of weird,
but
though.
He would feel bad about betraying his best friend because he knows his friend is really, you know, he knows Ron's in love with Hermione. He can see it, and he's
in love with Ginny.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was the thing that
I
really
don't think the films have showed that enough.
Yeah, they had him kiss. That's it.
Yeah, and it's like, it's quick, it's over with, it's done, and then Ginny's not mentioned again. But in the book, he's always taking out his Marauder's map and looking at the map of Hogwarts to see where Ginny is at school because he misses her.
And he has,
or he's always thinking about her.
Yeah, and they had, in the book, they also had the turmoil about, with him and Ron. You know, how about how he felt guilty? Oh, this is my best friend's sister. I can't betray him like that. And, I mean, they really didn't get into that. I mean, they did for a little bit in one movie, but that was it. And, I mean, they really left out a lot between Jenny and Harry in this last movie. And
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't like the way their characters Because in the second movie, at the very, or I should say, at the end of the book, when they flash forward, it's, you know, Harry and Ginny dropping the kids off at the station, and they look down the way, and there's Malfoy dropping his kids off. I don't see them being able to, you know, get together in the movie now.
Well, I know in part two they inserted another kissing scene between Harry and Ginny. I think it's during the Battle of Hogwarts that wasn't in the book. It's probably just to remind the film audiences that, hey, look, Ginny is Harry's girlfriend. You know, they haven't seen each other in months. So there is that, and that was in one of the trailers. So, you know, if you've seen the movie trailers for part two, and, you know, that's not really a spoiler.
Yeah.
We've talked about that one for months. But you know, what you just said about the epilogue, that's a major spoiler for people who haven't read the books. We will see Harry and Ginny and Ron and Hermione 19 years later when they have kids of their own that are going to Hogwarts at the very end of Deathly Hallows 2.
Yeah. It's, you know, there are a lot of little things that they've taken out from the first movie on. You know, in the first movie, where at the very beginning where Ron meets Harry, and they get the cards, you know, and the Dumbledore cards that has Nicholas Flamel's name on it. That was the first hint of Nicholas Flamel and who he was. That was taken out of the first movie, along with a lot of the backstory of who Nicholas Flamel was, the search for Nicholas Flamel. And just throughout the movies, they've been taking out little, you know, characters. They took out the poltergeist. Dolby doesn't make as many appearances as he should. I really don't like the fact that they've taken out a lot of these side characters.
Well, that's like Bill Weasley has been seen in the book since the fourth one, but we don't meet him in the film until Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah, after.
And I'm sure people who don't read the books are like, oh, there's another Weasley brother? Which one is this?
Yeah, and they don't explain the attack with the werewolf at the castle, that he's part of the Order, and that him and Floor, you know, got together in the previous book. And that, you know, Mrs. Weasley was all against it.
That was a great subplot in The Half-Blood Prince.
The
resolution of that after Dumbledore's death, when they're all in the hospital and, you know, having their discussions about what's going to happen next, Bill is there with his face all torn up. And Mrs. Weasley is so convinced that Floor's going to break up with him because she thought she only liked, you know, Bill for his good looks. And, you know, Flora really stands up for her husband to be, saying, you know, she loves him no matter what, and she's beautiful enough for both of them. And I think that's the moment when Flora really wins the whole Weasley family over, because I don't think any of the Weasleys liked her too much.
No, and I think it was a very key factor for Flora and making her a more likable character.
Yes, definitely.
And you first meet Flora Delacour in The Goblet of Fire. She's one of the three champions. She's very stuck up. She's nice, and, you know, after Harry saves her sister, of course. But up until that point, she's very stuck up. Nobody really, you know, yes, she's very beautiful, but nobody likes her. She never really develops as an open character until later when she starts dating Bill and, you know, kind of opens up more as a person. And with taking that whole plot out, you see her in this new movie, and it's like, it took me a minute to even remember that there was Floor, because there's just no setup for it. And I guess that's my biggest problem with the movies, is that they've taken out all these little subplots that would have only been an extra 5-10 minute worth of movie.
Yeah, but you have to think that those 5 or 10 minutes for each and every one is going to make the movie even longer. And these books are huge, so I guess they had to pick and choose to take out some little subplots, you know.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
the movie was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can't get every detail back, but they are releasing the older films as Ultimate Edition DVDs. I think the first 4 movies are out. I have all of them. And there are maybe, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of extra footage that's been edited back into the film. So we do see a little bit more about the chocolate frog card in the first one with Nicholas Flamel. There's a little scene of that that's been put back in the first film, and a lot of other small things along the way.
Yeah, I remember seeing DVD extras, but very little.
Some of those extras have been put, like, into the film, those deleted scenes. So you can watch it with, you know, that scene where it belongs in the movie now. In fact, when they show them on TV on the ABC Family Channel, a lot of times they will show the long versions of the first four films.
Really? I didn't know.
That was the fifth one, too. It's just the fifth one's not out on DVD yet with the additional scenes in it. But that'll come out probably next fall.
Denise Roper joins us. She's author of the book Harry Potter and... Wait, not Harry Potter. I'm so sorry.
We had that one on. I think
the Lord of the Hollows.
Exactly. The Lord of the Hollows, Christian Symbolism and Themes, and J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter. And by the way, it is available through Amazon.com, and it's on sale, and you can save 10% right now. You have to go through a certain link through her website, which is phoenixweasley.wordpress.com. By the way, just a heads up, a week from today, Saturday, December 11th, she'll be giving her lecture, Sneaking Past the Watchful Dragons, Christian Symbolism and Themes, in Harry Potter and the Chronicles of Narnia, taking place 2 p.m. Central Time at the main branch of the Lafourche Parish Public Library, located at 314 St. Mary Street in Thibodeau. Now, I know how to pronounce these French names because I lived in Louisiana for 10 years.
I can't pronounce French for the life of me. I've been, this last week, I've been working with a French-Canadian helping his computer.
Yeah.
This just goes to say how well I'm with computers at this point.
Yeah.
I don't speak a lick of French. I can't read it worth anything. His entire computer is in French, of course. And I've been able to fix it simply because I remember how everything should be laid out.
I'll teach you some French words during the break, but they won't be the dirty ones. Denise Roper joins us.
Surrender?
No, please. On this hour of That Sci-Fi Show on Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network, Denise, after the break, let's talk about the new Chronicles of Narnia release. It's got coming out next weekend, A Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And in the meantime, we'll take a break right now. You can visit our website, that's scifishow.com, or on blogtalkradio.com. And the website for the mothership is www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio, back after the break with Denise Roper. Stay with us.
And we'll be right back on That Sci-Fi Show, brought to you by the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
Totally Green Carpet Clean is dedicated to promoting a healthier environment for your family and your business. Vacuuming alone will only keep down dust and dirt. The Totally Green process removes dust mites, allergens, microorganisms, soil, bacteria, and contaminants. For a free consultation, call Totally Green Carpet Clean at 954-977-8330. Your home will not only look clean, but actually be clean. 954-977-8330. Totally Green Carpet Clean, preserving the integrity of the planet, one cleaning at a time. 954-977-8330.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com and www.thatscifishow.com.
And what's the name of that group again? I forgot.
It's Toxic Toys with their new release, Mutilation.
That's right. ToxicToys.com is the website for that. And by the way, this is the website for Denise Roper's blog, if you will, where you can also acquire her book, which is I forgot the name of the book already.
The Lord of the Hollows.
The Lord of the Hollows.
I'm sorry, it's just been a very exhausting weekend. It's like I haven't gotten back from Pittsburgh yet. It's been crazy, but Denise's website, by the way, Amy, is
phoenixweasley.wordpress.com.
That's right. Denise Roper joins us in this half hour of That Sci-Fi Show on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. As we're talking about how Harry Potter is wrapping up, both in the book form, which we've seen about a couple years ago, but also in film form. Part one is already out. Part two should be out on film sometime next summer. But yeah, another big event coming up at the movies. In this case, another chapter in the Chronicles of Narnia. And from what I understand, Denise, this is going to be definitely one heck of a look-see.
Oh, yes. The new Narnia film, I think, opens Friday, mm-hmm. The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And that was the third book in the seven-book series in the order that they were published. But actually, if you put the books in order by Narnia time, it's not really number three. It's further along. But most Narnia experts recommend that you read the series in the order that Lewis published it, so it would be book three.
Yeah. I'm actually wondering if they're going to make a the magician's nephew.
Well, there's a lot of discussion about that one and the Silver Chair, and it really depends on how this film does at the box office. If it does really well, then there may be another.
No, the Silver Chair, that's actually book seven, I believe.
The Silver Chair is book four.
Book four.
The magician's nephew is book six, but it can be read first because it's a prequel.
Yeah, that's the way I was always led to believe, is that I was actually the real book one was The Magician's Nephew, because that's what sets up the land of Narnia and how it all came about to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is first when you read the series in order according to Narnian time rather than the order that Lewis wrote and published the books.
Ah, okay. So I have to go reread them in the correct order now.
Well, there's actually, several different ways to read the series. It's kind of confusing. You can read them in the order he published them, the order that he wrote them, or you can put them on the Narnian timeline and read it, with the magician's nephew first, and then Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, etc. But the last battle, of course, is always last because it's basically the Narnian Armageddon.
Ah, okay. Now, what was the book that came, or not the book that came out before this one, before the, it was Prince Caspian.
Right.
Was the movie that came out before this, and it did very well in box office, and it was kind of a recreation of the whole Narnia experience, as to where The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was a little bland, a little droll.
Prince Caspian actually didn't do as well as it was anticipated to do. So, Disney is not distributing the third Narnia movie. I think they have a different distributor.
I think it's through Universal now is who's distributing it. Because I know it's been on USA Network a lot, and a lot of its affiliates, which is Universal.
Yeah, but between movies 2 and 3, there was a big lull. You know, like the filming of the third film didn't start right away because they were changing studios or distributors or whatever. And it was all about money.
It normally is. You know, when it comes down to the movies, you know, it's like we're seeing with the James Bond movie that, you know, has yet to be made. You know, it's MGM just not being able to have the cash for it or put the cash up to, you know, find somebody that's willing to put the cash up for it. And they're finding the same problem here with the, you know, Narnian books. But, you know, you'd think that they have. You know, the Narnian books, that whole chronicle, that whole series, it's one of those ones that has, like Harry Potter, the huge, huge, huge following.
Yes.
And you wouldn't think they would have these problems. And do you think it's because they don't really follow the storyline too much, or do they follow, they leave out, you know, just like Harry Potter, they leave out key details? And what do you feel is the reason why these movies are not doing as well as the books?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I found, stayed true to the book. And although they did add things to the movie that weren't in the book, it was very much in the spirit of C.S. Lewis. There wasn't anything in that movie that I think the fans majorly objected to. Whereas in Narnia fandom, especially, you know, amongst the Christian fans, there was a lot of criticism of the Prince Caspian film for being much more violent than the book. And I agreed with that. I thought some of the battle sequences were trying too hard to be like the next Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah.
And I think they lost sight of the fact that the Narnia books were written for children, the Lord of the Rings was written for adults. And the level of violence in the film is not as, you know, it's not true to the film, to the book. A lot of the fans also complained about the non-canon hint of romance between Prince Caspian and Susan. But, you know, it kind of worked in the film because the characters are a lot older in the film than what they are in the book. In the book, they're probably like 11 or 12 or something.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't make sense. But in the film, they're practically adults, so.
Yeah, they're 17, 18. And the
yeah, movie. And it really didn't bother me.
No, I think that was one of the nights that worked well with the movie, with aging Susan and Peter, to where they were more, you know, the adults. You know, and especially
Peter as a warrior king believable, whereas in the book he's this young boy, and it's like, you know, physically he wouldn't have the strength to fight the battles that he has to fight.
Yeah, I think that's where it did also, they had to kind of make that decision, is especially with the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, he, you know, has to stand up and fight at the end, and as well as Prince Caspian, he's got to, you know, do the battle scene by himself. And had he been a younger child, there would have been no way he would have won. He would have been able to stand up. No amount of magic on the world would have kept him alive. But I think you're absolutely right in saying that they tried to make it too much like Lord of the Rings, too violent for what it really was. And that's where they went wrong.
I enjoyed Prince Caspian, even if it wasn't the film that a lot of the fans wanted it to be. It was still enjoyable. But I'm hoping that the third one will be better, and that they'll keep the franchise going. Because I certainly want to see The Magician's Nephew and The Silver Chair, you know, adapted as films. Now, a lot of the younger fans don't realize this, but, you know, people that are my age or Joey's age may remember seeing on television in America, they aired on PBS, the BBC TV adaptation of the first four Narnia books.
Yes. Yeah.
So they did do The Silver Chair, and Joey's going to love this. Doctor Who's Tom Baker played Puddle Glum.
That's right, I did, yes.
And actually, out of all the characters in the BBC version, he was my favorite.
Now, if I'm
Tom Baker was
saying,
great in that.
I believe that these are the ones where most of the monsters weren't actually live action, they were cartoons.
Yeah,
and
the
live
special
action
effects were terrible. They didn't
yeah
have the budget to do it right.
Well, they're also talking, I mean, when these were made, you know, what, late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Early
80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the
probably
technology
so
back then was just nowhere near what it is today.
Yes, but it was a wonderful time, wasn't it?
But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't care about any of that. You just enjoy the story.
Yeah, because yeah, I remember watching those when I was a kid, and I can, you know, remember watching at least The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe back in, I believe it was, you know, fourth or fifth grade, whichever year they made us read that book.
Yeah.
And watching that one and, you know, really getting into the story. But with the new live action and the new graphics, do you think it goes, you know, to really drive home the point of the fantasy, or does it just kind of go overboard?
Well, from what I've seen of the movie trailers for Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there's a lot of computer animation in it, and I don't think they tried too hard to make it look realistic. It's almost cartoony, but from the look of the trailer, it works. And plus, it's going to be in 3D, so I'll have to see how that goes with the 3D enhancement.
Yeah, Denise, is it just me, or does every dang movie have to be out in 3D? I mean, I got whole movies that are going to be released on 3D from 1972. I mean, is it just me, or are they going back to this for the sake of the new technology? And are they wearing out their welcome in a short amount of time?
I'm just curious to see how long it's going to last. It seems like it's a fad right now, and I don't really care for it. I'd rather see a 2D film that's, you know, great acting and, you know, great music and effects and everything. I don't need the 3D experience to enjoy a film.
Well, that's what I liked about Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, because it's out in 2D. Maybe the second one's coming out in 3D, and maybe and they'll release Part 1 in 3D for about a month before as a lead-in, if you will, just to fully enjoy it. Can we have you on for one more segment?
Sure.
Excellent. Cause a few things I need to ask of you, because Chris has been asking me about these French names and such, and how I can easily pronounce the word Thibodeau and Lafourche, and where all that came from, and so many things to talk about. And
I could say something from a South Park episode, but I'm not.
No, we're not. It's family radio. It's family radio. And
no, I was talking about the season finale.
Okay. Well, anyways, Denise Roper.
Crash.
Yes. Denise Roper joins us. She's author of the book. Hold on here. She's author of the book.
Well,
you don't get
this
right. Not
die. Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you going to do that? I was just going to say, if you didn't get it right, we get to tase him. Now we can't tase him.
Oh, man.
You said something.
Give it one more shot. I'm sure he won't remember.
Denise Roper's with us. She's author of the book, The Lord of the Hallows. Kristen Sibyl
was going to have him drooling on the floor.
Oh, I could tase him anyway.
Yeah, I know you could anytime, anyplace, anywhere, honey. And J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter, as well as The Chronicles of Narnia. And by the way, Saturday, December 11th, she'll be in Thibodeau at the main branch of the Lafourche Parish Public Library, giving a lecture, Sneaking Past the Watchful Dragons, Christian Symbolism and Themes in Harry Potter, and the Chronicles of Narnia. That's at 2 p.m. next Saturday in Thibodeau. And obviously she'll be doing a book signing afterwards for The Lord of the Hallows. Her website is phoenixweasley.wordpress.com. Of course, if you're living in South Florida, you don't know what a Thibodeau is. We'll try and explain that after the break. That's Sci-Fi Show, Holistic Lifestyles Radio. Our website, that's scifishow.com. We're on blogtalkradio.com as well, and the website for the mothership is holisticlifestylesradio.com. Back after the break. Stay with us.
You buy the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
Totally Green Carpet Clean is dedicated to promoting a healthier environment for your family and your business. Vacuuming alone will only keep down dust and dirt. The Totally Green process removes dust mites, allergens, microorganisms, soil, bacteria, and contaminants. For a free consultation, call Totally Green Carpet Clean at 954-977-8330. Your home will not only look clean, but actually be clean. 954-977-8330. Totally Green Carpet Clean. Preserving the integrity of the planet, one cleaning at a time. 954-977-8330.
My name is Charles Becker. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, www.holisticlifestylesradio.com and www.thatscifishow.com.
Next week, by the way, Michelle British Weston joins us, an established author who we happened to find on our travels, Chris and I did, about a long...
Many a year ago.
Yes, as we traveled back in time.
I believe it was the first and last time we ever did FXCon.
That's right, yes, and George Lowe was there with us, too, for about 5 minutes, and afterwards...
I made amends to him, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad
you... I made it... I don't know if I could say I made amends to him because I didn't piss him off.
Well, you know, I didn't make him angry either. He was the one.
We won't go into it.
I know. Wrapping up this week's show, not much time left. Denise Roper joins us. She is author of the book, The Lord of the Hallows.
Here. He's reading it.
Yeah, I know, because I have it here on the web. And her website, by the way, is phoenixweasley.wordpress.com. She's been very gracious to us to spend time from her beautiful home in southeast Louisiana, where I trust, Denise, everything's going well in regards to your regular workaday world career, correct?
Yes, I'm not an author by profession. I just do that sort of thing as a hobby, like those speeches I do at fan conventions and all that. Mm-hmm. That's my vacation time. I'm actually a band director by profession. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite exhausted right now. We had a district honor band tryouts today, and I was the flute judge.
Wow.
53 junior high kids auditioned. And I went right from that to this radio show.
Well, now, am I right in saying which you're junior high, correct?
Yes, I teach at, maybe I shouldn't say it on the air, but let's just say I teach in the Thibodaux area.
Okay. That's right. I knew it was LaFouche Parish Public Schools, but anyways, Chris, just to give a bit of history, if you will, Denise and I went to the same high school back in the 1980s, a place called Vanderbilt Catholic High School, 209 South Hollywood Road, home of Louisiana, 70360. And I graduated class of 85, and she graduated class of... but I never had the chance to be a band director or never had the chance to really continue on to college as much as I'd like. But I will say it was a tremendous, tremendous experience. But you will find Chris is a musician. He's played guitar. That one happens to be involved in music, also tends to be involved in literary, and also tends to be involved in fandom as well. I mean,
I mean, good grief. Our band director was a huge Star Trek fan growing up as a kid, and he also got me hooked on Doctor Who in 1980. So if you want to blame anybody, his name is David Boudreaux. He's principal. But
does this mean I get to blame gamer RJ for getting me into it?
Well, maybe you can if you want to. Maybe you can if you want to. But
I could do that, RJ. I like him too much.
So outside of your being your discussion next week, are we going to see you at MegaCon in Orlando sometime in March?
I wasn't intending to go to that one, but I was just in Orlando this summer for the Harry Potter convention in Infinitus 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the biggest Harry Potter convention they've had yet. There were over 2,000 people there.
Wow.
And, of course, with the theme park opening last summer, that was a big reason why it attracted so many fans.
So you got to
and also two of the stars were there. Christian Coulson plays the young Tom Riddle in Half-Blood Prince. I didn't really get to meet him, but I did get to meet Percy Weasley, Chris Rankin.
Yeah,
took a photo of him and everything. He's a really nice guy.
At Spooky Empire, and I've actually seen him at a number of Orlando conventions. The twins.
Oh yeah,
the twins come in. We got to speak to them very briefly, but unfortunately, Warner Brothers would not give us an interview.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, we had to go through them, and of course, they're not there.
Yeah, so that was a fun, you know, roundabout of phone calls trying to get Warner Brothers on the phone. Hey, we're here at this convention. Can we interview your guys? Were you? A radio show out of Florida?
But
no way. How'd you get this number?
Yeah, exactly. But what's up for Denise Roper coming up in 2011?
No definite plans yet, but in Louisiana we have two or three sci-fi cons that seem to be mainstays, and you know, they keep inviting me back to do those. I was actually trying to stay home this summer more because I spent so much money going to Orlando. And the week before that, I was in Dallas at MythCon 41, which is the Mythopoeic Society's academic conference. If you're not familiar with that group, that is the society that publishes the journal Mythlore, which is a scholarly journal devoted to C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, and Charles Williams, the Inklings. And they gave me a full scholarship to come give a lecture at the convention in Dallas.
Wow.
Which was, like, so incredible to me because, you know, I've been reading that journal since I was a freshman at LSU, you know, over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd actually be speaking at their convention, and they would pay for it. So that was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad for that. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to come over for MayorCon, we have intentions of storming the Orange County Convention Center. I've known Beth Bodera for years, and she's an absolute sweetheart. And if I know Michelle has been there before. That's where we met Michelle at least a couple of times as well.
Yeah, we've seen Michelle there.
Michelle and I have done a lot of cons together in Texas, Louisiana, and one in Alabama last year.
And Atlanta, Dragon Con. They never told me you're up there in Atlanta.
But, you know, if you know of any conventions that have a Harry Potter programming track, that's what I do. I'm a presenter for that type of programming. The thing is, I'm a school teacher and I don't make a lot of money.
I understand quite well. Let me see what we can fit you into, man. Let me see what we can fit me into. I'm getting the two sign from Chris. So that means we got to wrap it up. Denise Roper is author of the book The Lord of the Hallows, Christian Symbolism and Themes in Harry Potter, The Lord of the Rings, and Narnia. Her website is phoenixweasley.wordpress.com. I closed my eyes when I was reading that, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
Denise, thank you so much for being on this broadcast of That Sci-Fi Show. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And have a blessed holiday coming up.
You too. Thank you all for inviting me back. This is my second time on the show. I would love to come back for Deathly Hallows, too.
It would be our honor.
Yes, definitely.
We'll put you down for a few months from now when it comes out, if not before, if we happen to meet you over at MayorCon. All right. All the best. Take care. Right. Wrapping up the show, by the way, just one thing I forgot to mention. Blaster.com mentioned this. Turns out those flying saucers weren't the only sci-fi weapons the Nazis were hoping would help them take over the world. German scientists were also planning to launch a giant orbiting mirror that could have used the sun's rays to wage war. According to an article in the July 23, 1945 issue of Life magazine, in Germany last month, U.S. Army's technical experts came up with the astonishing fact that German scientists had seriously planned to build a sun gun, a big mirror in space, which would focus the rays to a scorching point at the Earth's surface. The Germans, the Army reported, hoped to use such a mirror to burn an enemy city to ashes or to boil part of an ocean. Plausible schemes to build a station in space were engineered on paper long before the war. European rocket enthusiasts, including Dr. Hermann Oberth, who may have been the designer of the V-2, had planned to use the space station not as a weapon but as a refueling point for rockets starting off on journeys into space. The only major obstacle, constructing a rocket powerful enough to reach a point where a space station could be built. I think von Braun put it together, and it was called the Saturn V, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. And God bless him for being an American citizen.
That's right. Von Braun, we got the best one out of the group.
You know, Bubba, you know it. For, our website, that's scifishow.com, on blogtalkradio.com, and the website for the mothership is holisticlifestylesradio.com. Next week, Michelle Weston talks with us about the big literary stories of 2010. For Sci-Fi Emmy, for Chris West, I'm Joey Donovan. Thanks for listening to That Sci-Fi Show on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network.
Have a great night.
That's right. Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Yes, happy Hanukkah.
Get that menorah out of the closet.
I forgot. I'm a bad Jew.
Courtney Cox, I love you. You're so hot on that show. All right.
My when we used to light the Hanukkah candles when I was a kid, my brother used to blow out the candles and sing happy birthday.
Fine. Okay. Trust me, Chris has done far worse. Anyways, this is Sula.
Take us out.
And be sure to check out our new band, Toxic Toys, at TOXXICTOYZ at ToxicToys.com or Nightmare-Records.com. We'll be back next week with another great episode of That Sci-Fi Show, brought to you by the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. This program is sponsored by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day right here on AM 1470 WNN. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. All broadcast rights to this program are the property of Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Rebroadcast of any portion of this program without express written consent is prohibited. The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of the hosts and callers and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors.